Welcome to the Feast of the Life. For time is upon us in the Spirit, for to admit and receive matured sons of the sanctuary into the true tabernacle. Fruits must be born for to be sickled in, and no soul must appear empty. It is therefore time for every soul to bestow labors, joining forces with the Lord of the harvest, for to receive the rains and showers of blessings upon our lands, so that we can bear forth fruit unto life everlasting at the close of this age in His own great harvest. Welcome to the table prepared of the Lord, that you might be feasted unto fruiting. Stay blessed by this ministration from Love Seal Church and receive grace for holy engagements in prayers and obedience. Stay connected.
Hallelujah. A big amen. This is a special believers meeting. We have had a lot of emphasis build up back to back from the season of Spirit of Grace and Glory, who dictated towards anamnesis. It was in the same spirit. It was the Feast of the Lamb. It was the same emphasis of the Spirit that moved into the Son, the Way. I just feel that we should share fellowship. The first person that I will bring to just share concerning what the Lord have been doing in his life with us, based on those meetings, is our brother and our pastor, Pastor Timileyin.
Amen. Good afternoon, church. Good afternoon, Daddy. Good afternoon, Mommy. Daddy said we should share our experience. I think I would like to share from SOGAG. SOGAG was a meeting that I personally looked forward to, you know, all through the year. I remember I asked Daddy many times, when are we going to have this meeting? Daddy kept on saying, I don't know. So because it was meant to be not just a replacement for Way of the Heart, but an advancement of what the Lord has used Way of the Heart to do. You know, I remember when Way of the Heart started, it started with just Way of the Heart. Then the next year, Daddy said, it's not just Way of the Heart, that is Way of the Heart and Spirit, right? So, and that meeting was actually last year, Jeremiah, very beautiful. So I was looking forward to this year, until when Daddy said there will be no Way of the Heart. I had many questions, right? But I could not ask. So then fast forward to when we started preparing. I think for me, if it's my experience, it started with when we started preparing for the meeting. You know, having finished Believers Convention, you know, I just noticed certain changes of season upon my own life generally. Then October came. October, we're deeply in prayers for SOGAG, right? And 2 weeks into October, you know, certain burden was resting on my spirit. And October also happened to be my birth month. And of course, I was waiting on the Lord for my birthday, what to trust the Lord for, what to ask for. And so 2 weeks into that season, I remember a day at work. You know, there was just a burden in my spirit. I really didn't have articulate words for that burden. I didn't know how to express it. I didn't know how to ask. I didn't know how to pray about it. All I could just do was just wait. And certain weights started coming during that season. And I remember even when Daddy prayed for me on my birthday, I had the recording, I listened to it. But so I went to meet Mama. Mama said, "Shebi, your daddy has prayed for you. Don't come and meet me. Don't worry." I went again. "Your daddy has prayed for you. Don't come and meet me." So one Sunday, she was sitting in the office, very unusual. I just found the unusual boldness. I stepped into the office and she was like, "Okay, there's nothing I can do. I'll pray for you." She asked me, "What do you desire for this new year?" That was a very great question to me, because the burden I had, I was still unable to articulate it. You know, and at that instance, all I could just say is that I want to be spiritual. I told my mommy, "I want to be spiritual." Mommy prayed not necessarily using the word spiritual, but when she prayed all those prayers, you know, and somewhere I just knew that what she prayed was what I was lacking. Then coming into SOGAG the first day. Before then, the day I was thinking about my brothers, I used to feel like my parents were responsible for me being unspiritual. Because by the time I started hearing all of them from very tender age, right? You know, they've had certain experiences with the Lord, certain walk, definite encounters with the Lord, you know. And I used to feel like, if my mom have tried a little more, maybe I would have been more spiritual. And I sat down and I examined everything that my mother really tried. There was no prayer my mother would not take me to. There was no, you know, fasting that she would not, at a very tender age also. You know, one of the things I just saw that particular day was that it is possible to actually be in a season and not take things out of it. You know, and that was what SOGAG was like, Spirit of Grace and Glory. If this is a feast of spirit, there are definite spirit things to take away from it. So, and when Mommy Ellen was ministering that day, and she started teaching, she said many things. Among the many things, she was all like, the Lord desires believers who are full of the Holy Ghost. Some way, somehow, it just resonated with, you know, the burden I had earlier. And I just knew this is it. If I can just be full of the Holy Ghost, then I'm spiritual. I've won my warfare. And throughout the week, I had to wait, you know, reading through that particular scripture. Before then, one of the preparatory meetings, I think either Wednesday or Friday, Daddy started teaching. He said that the New Testament spirit does not necessarily mean spirit in life everlasting. That even in milk, there are spirit things to be given. Even in Christ, there are spirit things to be given. Even in life everlasting, life eternal, is about New Testament, is about spirits, all true. I understood, but I did not understand, right? So how will you tell me there is spirit in milk? You know, so all true, just waiting. And eventually, reading through Acts 6, and, you know, I was just seeing how, when they say that someone is full of the Holy Ghost, there is a spirit that believers should actually bear. Not even there is a spirit. There are spirits that believers should bear. He spoke about Stephen. He said Stephen was a man full of faith. Now, I was just saying that full of faith is a spirit. And what you should carry as a believer is that you are full of faith. During that season also, they were teaching, most of the teachings, Oyedepo came up as examples. That is so full of faith that impossibilities is not in his dictionary. Once he can see it, once he can envision it, and it tallies with the will of God, it is just possible. It becomes a possibility to him. You know, similarly, you can be full of faith. Full of faith that no challenge, no situation, no circumstance is unsurmountable. You can be full of faith that as you are seeing the challenge, it is as good as solved to you. Really, this is actually what it means to be full of spirit. For me, when meetings come, I just like to have scriptures to tie, you know, meetings to. And one of the scriptures that stood out so strong for me was Galatians, I think Galatians 4, when it said that God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, you know, and in my very little mind, the way I see it is one day you will serve the Lord and the Lord will send the spirit to your heart. You will serve the Lord, you know, the way, permit me to probably paint it a little bit. The way cartoons are, or rather alien movies, that the guy is just walking innocently and then something just enter into him, like Venom, right? And he just takes over his whole body. You know, that's the way I approached that meeting. Until when Mommy Ellen ministered, that's not what it is. It's not just that you will be serving the Lord and one day something will enter. It's that as you are serving the Lord, you should be increasing in certain spirit. And when he said full of faith, it appealed to me differently. And that one is full of wisdom. You know, I was just saying that many of the probably decisions, you know, undecisiveness could be a lack of spirit called wisdom in my soul. You know, so when they say that we are coming to feast on spirits, it's not necessarily that we are spooky. When they see you on the road, you are speaking in tongues and you are interpreting by yourself. You are holding church service within in yourself. Is that you have things that are tangible. So when they look at those three men, they said they are full of wisdom. to the extent that, you know, in the midst of a multitude, they can walk with wisdom that they did not offend anybody. Anybody. It was, they were just full of something. That thing is called spirit. Another person said that it's full of power. When that occurred to me, full of power, will I be healing the sick? Will I be doing this? Will I, you know? But that's not what it means, really. It's a spirit that you are enabled with grace on your inside. You know, those started opening up to me. And, you know, Acts 7, they spoke about Stephen. He said, Stephen being full of the Holy Ghost. He said that he lifted up, looked steadfastly into heaven. He said he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. I was just saying that for you to, you know, have feasted into spirit is to be able to see a glory. It's for heaven to open up on you. You have spirit because heaven has opened up on you. Because you have a direct transaction with heaven. You know, for me, it was just a desire. I want to be spiritual. I want to be thrust deeper into the spirit. You know, and I was just saying that when you are full of Holy Ghost, something will happen. Heaven will always open upon you. There will be no disconnection between your Father in heaven and you. Your per second action is sponsored by someone heavenly because of a spirit you carry. You know, and when he said that he looked steadfast into heaven, he now said, and he saw the glory of God. Meaning no man will see glory of God without spirit. And spirit is not just that you can interpret tongues. Spirit is, do you have faith? Spirit is, do you have wisdom? In 1 Peter 3, he says some women, they have a meek and quiet spirit. It bothered me. How will quietness be a spirit? That you can keep quiet is a spirit. All through that spirit of grace and glory, you know, amidst the many things that were taught, Reverend came, Revelation 7, Revelation 5. You know, I was just saying that the template for entering into many of those things that were taught is from Acts. You can't talk about New Testament spirit without doing well with what was in Acts. You know, and, you know, for me, you know, my experience really was that I started trusting God. If I can just be full of faith, maybe I'll throw a party if the spirit will permit. But, you know, I was just saying that there are things to transact with. Meekness as a spirit. Faith as a spirit. You know, love as a spirit. You know, that was another thing the Lord emphasized for me. You know, gentleness as a spirit. You know, not reservation per se, but that thing of being quiet is a spirit that we ought to bear. And, you know, those were my own transactions, what I trusted the Lord for, you know, what I engaged the Lord for. I mean, the many things that were said is that, you know, may I just find mercy to receive and to partake, to drink into many of these spirits so that indeed I can reckon with my maker, because it takes spirits to reckon with your maker. Family weekend for me also. So the meeting we had in East, so to speak, we really didn't have so much time for preparation. Let us pray this, let us pray that, let us put this in order. And as it were, I was not involved in many of maybe planning, preparation that would have make your mind ready for the meeting. So the first time I saw the flyer, I won't lie to you. It looks like, you know when they say weekend getaway? That was the way it looks to me. Weekend getaway, we'll just come and sit down, everybody pass the popcorn around. One family weekend arrangements, all this creek, all of us throw this. So that was the way it first occurred to me. And, you know, first thing first, Holy Ghost rebukes me that that's not the heart to come with such a meeting with. Right? Another deception I wanted to enter into was we've had SM Flex. I mean, there's F in SM Flex. There's family there already. Then what's so special about this meeting? You know, and eventually, when daddy will start teaching, talking about family, one of the things that is very pertinent about is about family life, right? You know, we've had many, but some way, somehow, you know, this one just, it met me at a place of my ignorance where I don't know. It was just very evident that I didn't know what family is really, you know, and one of the scriptures, one of the things that ministered to me in family weekend and couples weekend was, first of all, that definition of family is wrong. And there is a way that when I picture family in my mind, it's always a square table arrangement. You know, so one of the things that happened to me really was that I just saw that I've carried many wrong definitions, many wrong ideas, many wrong ideologies that would actually, you know, when you don't have a right idea of something, you would definitely do it wrong. So I just saw how unprepared I am to not just lead a family, also to function in a family. Everyone ought to function. If you're a wife, if you're a husband, if you're a younger one, elder one, you ought to function. There are roles for everybody. You know, and many of the time, when anything goes wrong, the people we blame is the father or the mother. I just saw how, as a child in a family, I can also make everything go wrong. You know, and the scripture that ministered to me is that Psalm 68 verse 6. That says that the Lord sets the solitary in family. He said, and bringeth out those which are bound with chains. He said, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So I just saw that what fights family is rebellion. I just saw how, you know, that thing that all of us have agreed on something. And you just feel like, why should we do it like this? Is rebellion in my heart, in my spirit. So why fathers must come over me is that they must deplete an arrangement of rebellion. So family is not just that we are related by blood. Family is that you have two different people, or rather maybe 100 different people with 100 different ideologies, 100 different ways to do things. But at the end of the day, they will agree with one thing. And there is nobody feeling cheated, nobody feeling left out, nobody feeling like they didn't hear my opinion. And again, I saw it in that Act 6. Our multitude, they had Greek, they had Gentiles, they had all manner of people, proselytes, Jews. But, you know, the distance between a Jew and a Gentile, or even a proselyte, is a very wide gap. It's a very, you can't beat their mind together. They can never think alike. But one of the things the Lord did, he made them one family. And Daddy was saying that to be one family is that redemption has happened to everyone. So I was just saying that, you know, in a family of 20, 30 people, we are sharing the same pot. The idea is that there is something that must call for oneness in all of our soul. That nobody is, you are not sticking out above anybody. And not just that you are not sticking out. You know, there are some things that you'll be like, they will do it. Now just wait behind. That thing of waiting behind too is rebellion. So I was just saying those things on many sides that eventually I will not be a father. The kind of father that we were taught, if I will not address this thing called rebellion in my soul. So, family weekend also was a very great blessing for me, you know, and I trust God to be able to keep and to follow, you know, all that the Lord has laid in my heart. And indeed, there will be experiences, even for years to come, experiences that I can teach my generation.
Thank you so much, Pastor Timmy. I appreciate that. The calling of God upon every one of us is to be a father. Fatherhood is not gender-based. Although there is the role of the male man to stand in fatherhood, there are different levels of fatherhood. And you know that the male man must enter fully to be able to operate in their fatherhood. And that the intention of the Lord is that the Lord wants to multiply us before we can be fruitful. That's what the Lord did to Abraham. The Lord made sure that he multiplied Abraham. The Lord wanted to multiply Abraham before he became fruitful. Because it's very necessary that you are multiplied. I was reading Isaiah chapter 9. He said, you have multiplied the nation. We have not increased the joy of the harvest. Do you know what that means? The joy of the harvest is that you are producing more than you can consume. That they call it the joy of the harvest. So you have multiplied the nation. That's one thing. But you have not increased the joy of the harvest. That was spoil, dear me, plunder me the gain. So, and that is very, very dangerous. You are sure that when you multiply a nation without increasing the joy of the harvest, famine will eat that nation. And when famine eat, many will die. You're not able to keep the multiplications. Amen. I'm saying this, that what God did to Abraham and Sarah is that Sarah was changed from Sarah to Sarah. From Abraham into Abraham. Which means God multiplied him. Abraham means exalted father. His father that was raised on the inside. Before God brought forth fruitfulness. And you see, the beauty of it is that Abraham did not need to have many children. He only had one. But in that one seed, there is a lot of fruitfulness. God's intention is to multiply me. And the multiplication that God must do to me, say, grace and peace be multiplied. And grace and peace are spirits. And there are spirits that comes through the communication of faith to my heart. Romans 5. Grace and peace are communication. You fed those spirits. That's why when they train Abraham, they threw Abraham to the learning of faith. Because they want to multiply him. To say your father is not broad-chest. To be a father, I mean, have they multiplied grace and peace on your inside? Because grace and peace be multiplied. I want to say, I have multiplied thee. I will multiply you. To multiply you, you are bound in grace and peace. That is multiplication. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. And Genesis 17 says, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and we multiply thee exceedingly. Not just multiply. This shows clearly to us why Adam and Eve didn't give birth early. Because it was a seed that God was multiplying them. Because the ordinance for them in Genesis is that be fruitful and multiply. And God made man and said us to be fruitful and multiply. And replenish the earth and subdue it. So you see that God wants to multiply grace on your inside. A lot of sisters that you are desiring marriage, sometimes when some of them have not come because you are not being multiplied with grace and peace. You are not yet Sarah enough. God knows that if they give you marriage, you will spoil it. Because you don't have what it takes. So that's why God wants to, and that is the burden, God wants to multiply us on the inside. Because it's those who God multiply that God will make covenant with. God can enter into a covenant with someone that has not increased on the inside. Like Abraham was multiplied. God multiplied him. And you can't be multiplied without faith. Faith learning is what being formed in the nature of grace and peace. He said it in that book of Romans chapter 5. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. By faith also, we have access by faith unto this grace when we stand. And what again? And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So you can see, so some of us that were saying that when Pastor Tim was talking about, he was just trusting God for faith. Because faith is the source of every spirit. That's why you can't have love without faith. Without faith, you can't have love. You can't have love. Because it's as you obey faith instruction. One of the faith instruction will demand faith commandment for you to get the spirit of love upon your soul. May the Lord bless us in the name of Jesus. One of our sisters, like just said, she should share with us her experience as she finds liberty. Join me as I bring sister with me.
Good morning, ma. Good morning, my pastors. Thank you, Daddy, for this privilege to share my experience. And I can say that this is December, and I had cause to check from January, and just so that the experience can be worth sharing is my experience, you know, what stood out for me. And from where Pastor Timmy also started from, it just looked like he knew what I wanted to share, because it also surrounded my birthday period too. And I remember that time I came to mommy that she should pray for me, and The question mommy asked was, what do you want for this year? And it just flashed back to me early last year, when I still used to sit down behind the choir here. And it was during worship time. And I just had an experience. And I just knew that I saw a being. And he was telling me that I've known him, or I am knowing him as the Holy Ghost, but it's time to know him as the Son. And that was last year, early last year. I didn't understand, so I just left it. But this year, February, when Mama asked that, what do I want for my birthday, it just flashed back. And then I told her, I said, I want to know Jesus as the Son of God. And it was now surprising to me when August came, and then the theme of the convention was the Son of God is come. And then, you know, September, October, all the meetings back to back, I've just been towards the Son of God. Because the truth is, anamnesis, SOGAG, family weekend, they are just towards one intention. And that intention is to raise us as sons. You know, it just comes in different direction. And then from SOGAG, no minister in particular, I just want to share what blessed me. You know, one of the things that stood out for me is when we're told that God wants to make us eternal son or eternal lamb. I think it was Reverend that said it. And he said that, you know, it was then I understood that it is not just a lamb as in meh. You know, I understood it better because he said that that lamb is more of a nature that is a kind of nature in God that is unaware of iniquity. You know, he said that when Adam fell, the lamb in Adam died. You know, that lamb had been exposed. One of the things I just find so strong is that whatever we are hearing here, for me, I believe and I know that it is true. Because sometimes daddy would have said some things and then reverend will come or another minister will come. And even the writing divisions from October, you know, have also been pointing one way or the other to things that were even being taught here. So I believe so strongly that I'm not in the wrong place. You know, I believe that I'm not in the wrong place. So the Lord wants to make us eternal lamb. He wants to make us a lamb that has the nature of God. Pastor Mika said that if the Son is a lamb, said that the Father himself is a lamb. Because whatever the Son is doing is the things that he sees the Father doing. So it means that if the Son is acting out the life of a lamb, then the Father is a lamb himself. And one of the things I left the meeting with is in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8, that talked about the generation of the lamb. He said that it was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For it was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. So I just see that God wants to raise. You know, we said that we are generation God. But much more is generation of the lamb. The generation that God can yank off sin. And, you know, it's the desire of my heart that I will come into that place. And that is why moving to family weekend, you know, daddy just said it now, that raising of fathers, I just see it in two ways. Both the spiritual part and also the physical expression. The physical expression in that in families, we need someone, you know, it is not about the father, the mother, and the children. No. You can have brethren staying together and they are still a family because there's a fatherhood order. There's an order of father in that house. There's someone that is bearing or standing in that capacity to bring out the order that God has established. And because when you look at God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, there's no God, the mother. So it is not about having a father, a mother, and children. You know, it is about having people that have been tied together by a dominion life, you know, by an order, a kind of life that is in God. So it is really not first about family that are united by blood, where you have the father, the mother, and the children. But it's more about people that God has brought together and have knitted their hearts, you know, in oneness. And Reverend Bisu, you also said something that the church is not coming first before the family. The way God instituted it, it was the family before the church. And the reason why the church had to come into play was because of the fall. The church now has to prepare us to bring to us the intention of God concerning what was from the beginning, and that was the family. And he said that the church is where we are prepared, while the family life is where we express the things we are learning. You know, and that's why much more than we come to church, it's good to come to church because we would not know what we need to know. It's good that we do well. Some of the things he said, it looks very funny when he said that a man can come to church and pray in the Holy Ghost, and then when we get to the house, you know, we cannot continue that kind of conversation. And the truth is, that is where it really matters, in the house, in the home, in the family. So it's good that we come, because we have to also come and, you know, learn from one another. It's also a kind of family. The church is a family in a level, but much more, even in our various home. So the Lord really blessed me during that family weekend. And the last, in anamnesis, you know, I was in the nursing mother session, but really, really, well, for me, it's all about the conversation that goes on in my mind or in my heart when I'm listening. And one of the things that I know that Daddy thought about was the place of coming into cutting of covenants. You know, when he explained it, I understood that before you can cut covenants, you must have been taught. That is when they start to bring commandments. You know, we don't just come into cutting covenants at once. You have to learn commandments, grace. You know, I remember writing the vision for October. That was when Daddy started teaching about when the spirit of grace, you know, teaches you truth. And then when you have done laws and commandments, you do them well, then you can cut covenants. But even after cutting covenants, it doesn't stop there. That cutting of covenants is just to tell God that I am available. And then we can now start to live out those things that we have learned. We live it out until a point where God can say, I can rest on this person. This person is a place for me to rest on. And that's when we can say we have come, or we have testament and we have come into testimony. But much more, you know, one of the things that struck me more is the place of being prompt in doing. That is what I'm saying in Revelation, that I come quickly and my reward is with me. It is somebody that obey quickly that Jesus will come to quickly with the reward. And for me, I don't know, while the meeting was on, I just asked my sister that was beside me to tear me a sheet of paper. And I just started writing out prayer points that I just felt burdened. And, you know, one of the things I just felt strong is that, Lord, arrest me to do your will. And I think Reverend also said that too, because sometimes we know what to do. We know God wants us to endure. God wants us to forbear. In fact, while you are listening to the message, you are resoluting or resolving in your heart that, yes, I'm going to do this. But the next minute, you step out of the hall and, you know, something different just comes to play. And that strength to, you know, to do what you know what ought to do is not just there. And I just pray that the Lord needs to arrest me, because there's a place of holding me down so that I can do his will. And lastly, we don't cut covenants in prayer. We cut covenant by obeying all the time. And I will just read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, that I just find as a burden in my heart. It says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And I just trust God that this grace and this mercy is not pardon. You know, we've been taught is much more, the bringing of truth, the bringing of law and commandments. And I'm asking that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Can you appreciate? Start with me for me. Thank you so much. I was so blessed. Please. People are engaging, People are not doing church. Some of us, we are doing church. We are only marking time. But some people are being intentional and deliberate. Have you ever asked yourself, what made the wise virgin better than the... Well, they are virgin, but they say some were foolish. And what made the wise God? They transacted with oil. She was in a meeting. She told the sister to tear... and started writing. And a few minutes after, Reverend said what she was writing. Sister, you're not the only one. My too. As I was writing notes, as instruction was coming, I went there. I wrote an instruction. 2024 to 2025. What must be done? The Lord is beginning to redefine many things. Many things. And after that, the Lord also was talking about different things. I'm just telling us that people are engaging. One of the greatest enemy of our time, or not of our time, but the enemy of people, is absent-mindedness. People are in a place, but they're not there. Absent-mindedness, it's not that you are not hearing what they're saying, but your heart is not there. And it shows. Because how do I say, people only do something for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they return back to their vomit. We have to try to force them out of that. They will come back. You see what you collected, people still go back to do the same thing again. It's a sign that we are absent-minded. We are not deliberate. People are engaging in this thing. That's why December time is time of reflection. For you to know that there is clear evidence of people are engaging. And if you are not engaging, you cannot avoid to be in the crowd. We can't avoid to be in the crowd. People are serving. As in the book of Revelation is to measure different servants. And sir, in the season of everlasting life, they measured some believers. In the season of everlasting life, they saw that they could not pass more than brazen altar. In the season of everlasting life, they were servants in the churches. But when they keep their body, they find out where their soul can travel far. They are the word of God and commandment of God. In Revelation 6, they are the word of God and the testimony. But what they are keeping, that thing has not turned. The thing could only carry them to altar. People that eventually they suffer great tribulation, they find them standing in the temple. But these people, they could not even enter temple. They were outside. In Revelation, people that just got that they even crashed tribulation for, they were ahead of these people that had the word of God and testimony. In the sea of everlasting life. Because it was a measurement of servants. They were calibrated different servants. They had the word of God, but they are not transacting with it. So when eventually something happened to their body or to their soul, where their soul can go far was undergirding the altar. Where the word of God and the testimony of their father should have taken them, the word of God should have been, they should have been caught up to heaven, like those two witnesses in Revelation 11. It just showed that you can be a servant, because all of them were servants. They wrote to servants. The revelation of Jesus. But what they were holding before determined that they could not profit with what they were giving. It's show. I'm telling you, we have come to a season that it will show. It will show if you're not transacting. It'll be very, very obvious. One of the things he wrote to the churches in the book of Revelation, he said, make sure your garment is white and you are not found naked. Behold, I come as a thief. This coming, when it come, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. That means you have not changed garment upon garment. Shame will be exposed. Because when everybody were transacting, you are not transacting. You are not transacting. You are just in the midst of the crowd. You are not engaging. Your heart is not present. That's what happened to the five foolish virgins. They thought they were all virgin, but they could not transact. Please, I beg us. That's why this month is a month of to evaluate. Retrospect. Look testimonial. Check things out. Go back to your notes. As you are retreating, as you are resting. See, don't do festivity and forget yourself. Let it that marry believe is not married. Let it that is it celebrating since it's not celebrating. It's a time to go. So that, say, blessed is he that watcheth. It's time for us to watch. You are watching and you keep it his comments clean. You know what they did to those people in Revelation 6? They gave them a white rope. They had the word of God and testimony. They gave them another white rope too, Revelation 7. They were servants. Then they saw another set who are already witness. They gave them power. They gave some people rope. Some other people, they gave them power to finish their testimony. They gave them power. But before they could give them power, because they have a rope already that is full, they can manage power. They give you rope first. They wear you rope first before they give you power. All of them, what they have, they all have the word of God. But what they did with those things matters a lot. The Lord will show us great mercy and great grace in the name of Jesus. Join me by God's grace this afternoon as I bring our pastor, Pastor David Odegbaro, to share, you know, his personal experience with us for the year.
A season is a given season. Oh, I'm still giving spirit. I'm still giving spirit. It's a season where I'm still giving. I'm doing a lot of giving. See that you mount. See that you come up. Come up to the place where I can meet with you. Come up to the place where I can give you things. Oh, come up to the point where I can bless you. Come up. Don't stay down. Don't be lost. Don't be lost in the crowd. Don't be lost in the events. Don't be lost in the jamboree. Don't be lost. But mount. Ascend in your heart. Ascend to a place to meet in place. A meeting point. Ascend. For that which I'm giving. For I am still giving in this season. Don't be distracted, said the Spirit of God.
Thank you so much, Daddy, for the privilege of this. One of the things this year that the Lord mentioned at the beginning of the year was that, you know, we'll be receiving ministrations from the throne. I think that was the crossover service that began the year. One of the things which I think in my own experience I've seen in the course of the year is that somewhere the Lord has, you know, granted us that privilege of receiving ministrations of, you know, the Son of God, receiving ministrations of the Lamb, and at even some points, like, you know, the High Priest. So it's just very clear that whatever that thronic ministration has been, it just represents that we as a church have come to, you know, a particular place and that the Lord is seeking to push us into. And personally, one of my prayers, one of my burdens that I just find myself, you know, praying, I've been asking the Lord for three things, you know, that the Lord should help me to love Him, help me to love His people, you know, that's the church, you know, then help me to love, you know, the work that is going on. Because I just find out that without those things in place, there's just a very difficult way with which, you know, it will be easy to flow in what the Lord is doing. One of the things in Sogag, Spirit of Grace and Glory, one of the things that, you know, was made clear to me was just that mystery of feeding on the flesh and blood. Not that I understand the mystery, but it became a bit more closer, you know, to me personally, in my experience. You know, that scripture that I talked about, wherever the carcass is, there the eagles shall gather. You know, even before, I used to think that scripture it meant the vultures will gather where the carcass is, until God's servant, you know, by God's grace, opened that up to say that that carcass is the lamp, you know, and those eagles, you know, are souls that have taken flight, you know, and they'll be able to go and feast on the lamp. And I think one thing has also been made clear, you know, even across the three meetings, Sogag, be it the family and couples weekend, be it anamnesis, they just seem to be meetings that reveal way and reveal spirit. And that's one thing that has been clear. I don't have doctrine to share. And maybe when I just share my experience, just to encapsulate maybe all three how it has been for me, one of the greatest meditations of my heart too has been a mystery. How does one do well in these waters? And when I mean do well, I don't mean maybe become a minister or, you know, do some great work, but how do you really prosper, you know, in the waters? And one of the things during the, I think during the series that we took before, the faith series, was, you know, the Lord just also took my heart back to the milk dispensation. How that, you know, when you see certain people, they've been crowned in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. I just realized, you know, by reason of, you know, meditation, when these things about spirit was being spoken, was that there's a spirit of faith. It's not so much about the outward thing I'm doing. So I can follow, for example, Pastor Thompson. Maybe if I'm learning is fasting for 14 days, I can fast like him. I can dress like him. I can try to copy his outward steps. But there's something that is operating within him, right? There's something that is making him do what he's doing. And he might approach the same issue in two different ways at two different times. The Lord might, concerning healing, you know, you hear that, oh, somebody got healed by confessing every day, you know, and but to another person, that same issue, the Lord might tell the person to ignore it, because it's the spirit of faith that is bringing fountain instruction. So it's not just by copying. So one of the things I realized that people that who did well in milk, they don't just copy, right? Okay, they are doing it like this. Yes, we can't know direction. We have to follow. So I'm not saying we should find our way. But one of the things that was made so real to me, you know, myself and my wife, we also had conversations about that, was that there's just a living work, a living testament of, you know, of that spirit. That when you get it, it will just begin to define and interpret everything, you know, I do and my approach to things. And that's what actually makes me to journey. So, you know, that for me was a great answer, you know, concerning how, you know, the Lord will be able to help me, you know, concerning this. And when we talked about, you know, the spirit of grace, the spirit of glory, you know, and a feast of spirits, one of the things that spirit doesn't always necessarily mean a being. It could mean an operation, a working, a combination of different laws. So one of the things that was very clear to me, you know, was that I can be in the waters. I can learn, because the waters has, you know, different terminologies. If you are diligent enough and you are mentally aware enough, after a while, you should begin to be able to say some things and put some things together. Like one of the things in these waters, for example, the number three, a lot of things are in three: incorruptible, undefiled, unfading, faith, hope, charity. Daddy, for example, today we do something like this. The very same thing, he will do it another way the next time. So I can't just keep up. I can't just, even if I'm copying him, I can't keep up, because the ground is always changing. When I think I've gotten used to it, something just comes up. But one of the things I've learned is that if I can get the spirit of inheritance, if I can inherit that spirit, you know, if by reason of latching onto, like Elisha, he was able to, because that manner of the spirit of inheritance, it even tries to shift you away. But if somebody can latch onto it, there's just something you will get, and you will just be acting from the inside of you. It will just be springing, it will be fountaining from the inside. They will say, you need to teach no man his neighbor or his brother, saying, this is the will of the Lord, or know the Lord. It will just fount. Grace will just come. So one of the things that I realize is that in this economy of the Lamb, the Son of God is come. One of the things that is being made clear to us is that there's actually a way that is being made. But that way is not just a natural way. It's not just a way just of observing this and that, saying low here or low there. But it comes by inheriting spirit. And to bring it down, one of the ways that we learn the way, I think somebody said it, was that there's a discipline. There's a discipline of the life. The discipline is called discipleship. There's a discipline of the life that we learn when we come under fathers. Because it's fathers that really are way makers. Or they are really people that can give us way. One of the things I'm coming to learn more and more. For me, fatherhood is something that I'm very interested, you know, in learning about. But for me, one of the experiences I'm having in this season, you know, is to come under that fatherhood more. You know, to not just by reason of serving, not just because you can serve and still not get the spirit. You know, you can serve for long years and still not get the spirit. So it's not just about the activity or the running around I'm doing, no. But I'm really trusting God. I don't have all the answers to be able to track and place a demand on that spirit of father. Because I know that once I get that spirit, you know, the rest, the history, you understand. Not that I'll form my own ministry or I'll do my own thing. No. For me, one of the things I'm really trusting the Lord in this season is to really, really track that spirit of fatherhood by God's grace so that I can get the inheritance of the way. If I summarize it, one of the things that it meant for me, it's still unraveling. By God's grace, we're still going to go back and unpack, you know, the messages and still wait on them. But one of the experiences for me was loving Jesus. I think there's an atmosphere and amnesis brought that just brought the love of the Lord again in a new way for me. Because and one of the things is that, yes, a lot of meetings, a lot of pressure, a lot of learning, a lot of lines, doctrine, precepts. But there's just a smell and aroma of Jesus that the meeting seemed to bring, you know, personally for me. You know, for me, I just realized, you know, that it's time I really, really love the Lord. And like I was saying initially, that those three prayer points for me, I want to love the Lord. I want to love his people. I want to love the body. I want to love the body. Then I can love his work. I can do works. You understand? You know, as Reverend was teaching every night, you know, raising prayers concerning the communion, you know, beseeching the Lord to teach us the secret of what is underneath the table. One of the things I realized that just made me realize that why I must love the body is that if the body does not come into certain seasons, there are even certain personal experiences and triumph of faith, like healing, that I may not be able to fully capture. Just saw that love and concern, because there's somewhere where my personal walk with God, but I belong to the body. My experience was loving the Lord and learning to discern the body more, you know, because I realized that even the things that relate to me are tied to the breakthroughs that were happening in the body. And one of the things we were really trusting the Lord for was so much breakthrough that happened in the meeting, you know, concerning what the Lord is going to be doing, you know, in the body, even in the area of healing and the rest. And I'm just trusting God to align as well. As you know, as I align with the way, as I align under the spirit of fatherhood, to observe the discipline of discipleship in the local assembly, to learn that way that comes by proximity. I also want to learn to discern the body. I also want to learn to love the body, you know, and so that I can partake of certain economies of the Lamb and of the Son of God. Amen.
Amen. Join me as I bring our pastor, Pastor Peter Oyeloye.
Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm also sharing my experience. Amen. And that which the Lord has put in my heart, you know, or through the three meetings that I'll be outlined. Well, for me, I'll just give a summary. What I've come to be persuaded of is that God is deliberate about his project. And he also wants me to be deliberate about it. You know, God is deliberate about his project. And I'll start with an analogy that Reverend gave. Reverend painted a picture that made God look like somebody that is reduced. When he said that Satan rebelled in heaven, put his things, you know, in men. And it was so confrontational that devil came to the garden. And when he came to the garden, he introduced in knowledge, you know, to Adam and Eve. And God had to separate them from the garden for them not to have a right of way to the tree of life. And that action, Satan was satisfied and is content that except something else happened, he's so sure that his seed in man will prosper. And he's also so sure that the project of God, God has been reduced to a corner. Amen. And that thing struck me that actually God is looking out to me. It's not that God is helpless. It's not that God can wrap up everything, you know, the day it happened. But God is a God that obeys, you know, his principle. He obeys his law. And he will even bend it for himself. So if God will not bend it for himself, it means that God is cornered to a corner. If I and you are not deliberate about his project. That's one thing that actually struck me, you know, right from Sogag to Anamnesis. So when a man is deliberate, I begin to talk about the bloodline. What makes a man worry himself, a natural man, that he does not have a child to continue his what, his posterity, his bloodline. Want his name to continue on the head. So if God is so interested in pushing, you know, his body, pushing his blood, even pushing to the extent of talking about what, prophecy and book, then it's a serious matter. I have to be serious about it. God is so beautiful that he's giving us the way to go about it. You know, and that will make me to zoom into the family weekend that we had. Reverend Busi's message stood out for me. And one of the things that he brought for me basically is that the landscape has changed. The landscape or the head has changed. And if you are not seeing that the landscape has changed, you are threatened. You might not be able to navigate the days ahead because the definition of a family has changed. And the definition of a father also changed. Because what we have as a template, you know, is that which Satan gave man. And there's no way you can run the template of God with Satan's template. You can never arrive at destination. So if I'm going to arrive at destination, I must embrace new templates. Reverend said that you can't really define family if you couldn't define fatherhood. Because truly, what brought about creation is fatherhood. And you can't talk about fatherhood without vision. So the vision of God comes back into it. So if I'm talking about I want to get married, I want to have a family, you must have definite definition of what vision is. And that vision is not your vision. That vision is not your own arrangement. You know, our own definition of our own family vision is that, okay, I want to get married. You know, I'll make money. I'll buy a car. I'll build a house. I'll make sure that I send my children to good school. And after I send them to good school, I ensure that they have, at least they are well placed in society. I'll have investment that ensure that in my old age, I'm taken care of. I'll give to my extended family and whoever needs, hallelujah. And life ends there. And at the end of the period, you said that what? I am a father to my children. And I've raised my children well. But if you put that into the mandate or the template of heaven, you have done nothing. You didn't even exist. That's the truth. You did not exist on the earth. You've only come to the earth to just pass away. You've only came to the earth to pass away. That's what it means. Because if family definition is a product of fatherhood definition, and the template of fatherhood is God, who stepped down to be a father. And in that stepping down to be a father, there's vision. So for me, that stood out for me that the template on the head has changed. And we must all key into it. In other words, if you are saying that I want to come into fullness of everlasting life, I want to inherit eternal life, if you can't come under the new definition of family and fatherhood, you know, you can actually not have substance or the things of God. Reverend also said something that, which also stuck with me. Church is actually family. The arrangement we have presently is to actually salvage us. And if really we're going to get the work of done, really done, you know that if you and I are going to become the Son of God, we must replicate that template anew on the head. And Ephesians also buttress that, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians buttress that template. He said, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, that we henceforth no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We now come into it, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by which every joint supply, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh what? Increase of the body unto what? Edifying of itself in love. So you find out what? The present church arrangement is spelled out here, and the family arrangement is spelled out here. You know, you have to tell yourself, and which I tell myself is that I must raise into the new template. It might not agree with your mind. It might not agree with what's on the head. It might not look like it. You might be the one that say, just love my husband and my wife. Me and my wife just want to stay. I don't want to see anybody in my house. I don't want to father anybody. What you are saying basically is that you want to live in the wilderness and you want to perish. That's the bottom line. God will not bend the rule for me. I won't bend it for you. And if you say basically you don't want to be fathered, you understand? You're only saying basically that I don't want to inherit God. God is deliberate. And he won't change the template for anybody. As I said, that God is deliberate. What stood out for me basically is the fact that God wants to come quickly. And I'm also do a short walk. Which is to comes back to what? To the two other meetings that we have had. Because the truth is that we have not learned to do short walk. We linger so much. If you have learned to do short walk, the close of this age will be so fast. We don't do short walk. We do long walk. And short walks will come into family environment. Because you must do short walk. In the days of fathering, in the days of the new family template on earth, what God expects from you is to do short walks. Because God wants you to respond to him at the speed that is coming to you. Remember, Reverend says that ways are thoughts. And thoughts come to you every day. And the ways of darkness come to you every day. And God also brings thoughts to you every day. You find out basically that you actually respond more to the thought of Satan than the thought of God. But they all came to you at the speed of light. God was never behind Satan. That's what I've learned. Has God ever been behind Satan when they tempt you? When you're at a crossroad? When there's a conflict? When there's a disagreement? When your opinion is not honored? Never. But we must learn how to do short walk. Because short walk didn't only start at the end of prophecy. It actually started with what? You coming before covenant. Because they will give you commandments. When they give you commandments, that's the beginning of introducing you to do what? Short walks. So if I'm learning how to do short walk from the days that they give me commandments, covenant will be easy. Testimony will be easy. Prophecy will be sure. Because the intent of God basically is that dragon must come down. You know, if he's coming towards us, you know, quickly, then I must also what? Respond shortly. And if you don't learn that technology, we can't make progress. Father, who is vision? And vision establish family. And the vision is not your vision. The vision is that God wants to redeem you out of every people, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe. That's what God wants to do. God wants to redeem you and make you a book and seal you back that Satan can't get to you back again. That's the intent of God. So for me, short walk is a must. Short walk is a must. God will keep coming quickly. You know, he has always been coming. He has always been knocking. And I must always find grace to respond. You know, if you're a wife, you're a husband, you're a son, you're a daughter, you know, you're a servant, you're a worker, you know, it cut across everybody. And that's why the family template, the fatherhood definition, is a must to midwife everything that God has said. So tell your neighbor, be prepared. Get ready for change. Get ready for glory. Get ready for swift walk. Lord bless you.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message from Love Seal Church and that much understanding has dawned upon your heart for to bestow labor in doing and fruiting. Keep in touch with us.